Let's take our Bibles and look together in the time we have remaining to 1 Kings chapter 15. And my text is from verse 11 down to verse 24. And I want to speak with you about a king with a perfect heart. In fact, if you take your concordance and look up the word perfect, or perfect heart, or perfect before God, you're going to find many, many verses that speak of this particular state of being. I know it is a little bit unsettling for us, knowing ourselves to be sinners, that how can it be that any can be said to have a perfect heart? Well, I do know that it's not anything to do with some supposed sinless nature. But even as you read in the epistle to the Hebrews, the conscience purified, how? Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that we have here an example in Asa. And again, this would have been the descendants from Solomon, Solomon's seed. And we're getting into the grandchildren of that seed, but this was a seed which God had purposed to bless, not because even it could be said that Solomon was perfect. We know it was different. But he was one upon whom God had set his favor. Even as it was said of David, we know David did not have a sinless nature. That's evident. But he was called a man after God's own heart, not because his heart was after God, but he was a man whose heart God was after. He was a man after God's heart. God never, for any reason, ever cast him off. And again, why? Well, because in time, in the fullness of the time, God would send forth his son, made of a woman, to redeem, it says there, those who run to the law. That would be all those who, up to the time of Christ fulfilling their debt, that they were under the law. And yet God purposed to save such, not for anything in them, but for Christ's sake. So think of Asa this way. He was in no way a perfect man. But clearly from what we read here concerning him, he was a man whose God's heart was set upon him and therefore purposed to bless him. But let's read this in 1 Kings 15:11. It says, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maacah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. So here's an example. When you read this word, don't think of God looking on him and him providing God some sort of perfection. No, his heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. That's another way of speaking of God's favor upon him, seeing no sin in him. Why? Because under his forbearance, just like with all those in the Old Testament, God did not impute that sin to him, but purposed that it should be put to the Lord Jesus Christ, his son, when he would come, live, and die. That's why David spoke of that in Psalm 51, in Psalm 32. Blessed is the man to whom God shall not, and it's the way it's written, no, never impute sin. Why? Because he's already purposed to put it to his son. So that's how we have to read this. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated and the things which himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. Here was one that the Spirit of God being in him he did have in himself this desire to glorify the Lord in dedicating all of these things unto the house of the Lord. What was the house of the Lord? That was the house that Solomon had built. It had to do with the sacrifice. It had to do with the temple. Therein is a picture of Christ. That even though imperfect in himself, and quite honestly, when it says there in verse 14, the high places were not removed, that just shows that there were some that God purposed that he not remove. There were so many of them. And yet he removed as the Lord directed, but the dedication of his life was for the house of the Lord, the silver and gold vessels. So here he wasn't seeking any glory for himself, but as the Spirit of God taught him, all that that temple represented. And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. Again, wherever you see now from here forward, Israel versus Judah, it's because the kingdom divided. And speaking of this king, Baasha, that continued to war with Asa, there's the enmity. These went off and established another way of worship under Jeroboam, the worship of the golden calves. And throughout their lifetime, this was a reprobate lineage now. These, God purposed that the kingdom be divided. And so there's not one good king when you go and study that had any inclination at all of being the Lord's. They were separated and blinded. God purposed it. And that particular kingdom ended up being destroyed. Even to this day, when the Assyrians in their history came down and took them into captivity, so complete was the destruction of those 10 tribes. That's where you read that the lost tribes of Israel. And some think, well, they're somewhere up in Europe still. There's a breed still up there somewhere. But I believe when the Lord took them out, he took them out. They were not to be raised up again. Such is the complete condemnation of sinners that oppose Christ. But we see this opposition here in verse 16. There was war. I believe this is such a clear distinction as we find in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where the Lord said that he would put enmity, the Lord would put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. That's what we're seeing here. All through Scripture. Any that oppose those who are the Lord's are of the seed of the serpent. And Baasha, the king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. He tried to put a border. He so opposed God's blessing on Asa that he would put all of his effort into keeping people from coming to him. There again, we see a picture of the enmity, the spirit of Antichrist that is in so many, like the Pharisees in Christ's day, that would not have the people to come to him, such as the spirit of Antichrist. And the same today, there are many religious organizations that are of the spirit of Antichrist. Their one purpose is to draw men after themselves and not to have sinners drawn to Christ. It says in verse 18, then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He's talking about the house that Solomon had built. Besides everything that was in that temple, there were storage rooms in the sides of the temple where there were treasures of gold and silver in abundance and vessels sufficient for the sustaining of that temple for worship, and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimon, the son of Hazion, king of Assyria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, and between my father and thy father. Just remember, too, that Abraham came from Syria, that region. And so there's more here than just saying there's some sort of political league. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break the league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. So Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of the hosts which he had against the cities of Israel, and smote Ijon and Dan and Abel Beth Maaca and all Chinneroth and all the land of Naphtali. Isn't it interesting? These are names of cities that we recognize as having been tribes of Israel, and yet now we're apostate. And so worthy of condemnation. It came to pass when Baasha heard thereof that he left off building of Ramah and dwelt in Tisra. So those that oppose Christ and oppose his work, there is no resting place. He's building this with one intention, and now the Lord unsettles him, and so he has to find another place to dwell. They will seek their own refuge, but they will not repent, left to themselves, such as the state of reprobate men. Then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted, and they took away the stones of Ramah. Here he was trying to build this as a city of refuge for himself and those that followed him, and now the Lord's purpose that those stones be taken away and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha had built it, and King Asa built with them Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. There's a beautiful picture that nothing that we have is our own. The Lord is going to direct it to his glory how he will. So here, the Lord purposed that Asa use these very stones and timber that were designed to be in opposition. The Lord now uses it for the strengthening of the cities in that remain there in Benjamin. I think of even how that is a picture of our conversion in Christ, whereby we're taken from that quarry, if you will. Remember the rock from which you were hewn, and dedicated completely to condemnation. Had we been left there, but the Lord purposed now that each one that he's purposed to save be brought and made a precious stone to be laid upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says the rest of all the acts of Asa and all his might and all that he did and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So here again, I would encourage you to go over to the book of Chronicles, in this specific case in 2 Chronicles 16, and read the end of Asa. And you can see how the Lord kept his hand on this particular king to serve as a picture of what God does when he's purposed to save, for Christ's sake, any sinner, that they will be kept. It says, nevertheless, in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. Just because we're the Lord's doesn't mean we're not going to know gout or some other ailment. Like so many today, if you're sick, they think, like Job, you must have sinned. You must have done something wrong. Or you need to look within and try to drum up some more faith so God will heal you. Here was a man that God purposed serve his cause throughout his lifetime, and yet in his old age, he was diseased in his feet. Comes with age, doesn't it? And Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. So you can see here, again, how Asa, this king, the Lord had purposed and set aside as an example. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 13, it's actually verse 14. That word perfect, there's different. If you look up in a Strong's Concordance, there's different words that are translated by perfect, and I believe context is everything. Actually, here in verse 13, the word for perfect is the word shalem, Jerusalem, Shalom, what does that say? Peace. So when it says here that nevertheless Asa's heart was at peace with the Lord all his days, that would be another way of reading it. How is it at peace? How does any one of us have peace with God except through the Lord Jesus Christ? And so even though the Lord Jesus Christ had not yet come, there's an indication right here that this man was one by the Spirit of God, because it's only by the Spirit that any can have that peace with God as far as the heart peace, knowing that their sins are put away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here would be, just like Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Asa would have been one that, by the grace of God, would have looked forward to that time when the Lord Jesus Christ would come and pay his sin debt. And I know that people argue against this. They say, well, they didn't have the knowledge of Christ like we have today. No, but they looked for a Redeemer. They saw, according to how the Spirit taught them, in those sacrifices, in that temple, they saw a picture of that Redeemer who should come, that substitute who should come. That's why the Lord said of Abraham, he saw my day and rejoiced. He may not have known that his name was going to be Jesus. He didn't even know that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. But given the Spirit of God, there's a reason he was offering those sacrifices before the Lord as a picture, type picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as his substitute. So that's an interesting word there in verse 14. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Whose heart is perfect with the Lord today? It's those that are taught by the Spirit of God, that in spite of all the sin that we know is here and would separate us from God, yet because of the work of Christ and by way of imputation, knowing that my sin has been put to his account, his righteousness put to my account, therefore there's peace with God. Over in Romans chapter 4, this is what we read and see. It says in verse 25 of Romans 4, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Where you see that word for, it's not in order to, but because of. That's the way you need to read it. Who was delivered because of our offenses. Do you realize where this scripture is taken? It's taken from Isaiah 53. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking of how the Lord bore our iniquity, bore our offense, and was raised again for, same word for, because of our justification. That means when he raised again, between his death and his resurrection, justification was accomplished. It's not when you believe that you're justified. Those that believe in the Old Testament, when it says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, that word for there actually means unto. That righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and accomplish. And that's what he believed. He believed God. He hadn't seen it accomplished yet, but faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But you read in Hebrews 11, Abraham and all those of the Old Testament died without having received the promise. And why? That they without us should not be made perfect, is what the writer of the Hebrews said. So Asa would have had this peace with God, and God at peace with him in his forbearance before Christ came, not imputing his iniquity to him. It wasn't because he was any better king than anybody else, but that God purposed that his sin debt should be put to the account of Christ. And that's why I read in chapter 5, therefore. Now, there was no punctuation in the original text. It was just one long sentence written. Editors had put punctuation in here, but there we have to be careful. So you're not changing God's inspired word by changing punctuation. The word is therefore being justified. Pause there. being justified how? Well, verse 25 of chapter 4 already says it. Christ having been raised because of our justification. It was accomplished there at the cross. Therefore, having been justified is another way of reading that. By faith, we have peace with God. When it says by faith, it's by the revelation of Christ. And the peace with God here is not that legal peace that was established at the cross, but peace, inner peace. This is the perfect heart, that which is at peace with God. I would ask anybody, are you at peace with God? Well, if anybody gives any other answer than that through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not peace, that's a delusion. But if Christ has paid our sin debt, we are at peace with God. Up to that point, before the Spirit of God revealed Christ in us, we probably struggled with that idea of trying to obtain peace. I did. I made my profession, but something inside wasn't right, and it's called sin. There's doubt, there's unbelief, there's all these things. And so you found yourself always trying at night before you went to bed, confessing it all to the Lord, all you could remember. It's like one preacher said that if that's your path, once you think you've repented, well, then you've got to get back down again and repent of your repentance, because there's no peace there. I'll tell you where peace flowed in like a river is when the Lord opened my eyes and taught me that this struggle was really my own rebellion, not belief, not resting in Christ, not even having known it. But when Christ was revealed in me, there's the peace that passes all understanding. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, is the way it's written. There's no peace in here. The peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so being justified is by faith. That word faith is the persuasion that God gives concerning the person work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he finished the work. I can't give that peace to somebody. But if you're the Lord's, he does. It says, by whom also we have access by that same faith. By that faith here is that revelation of Christ and his death. That faith once delivered unto all the saints. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So I believe that's true even of Old Testament, those that were God's elect in the Old Testament, those that lived since the New Testament. It's all in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and that it, which he accomplished at the cross. I believe that that's the sense here. This is why it's said of Asa that his heart was perfect. At peace is the word that's used there. Shalem. At peace with the Lord all his days. Not because of anything in himself, but because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would come and accomplish on his behalf.